Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have Debbie Cowden to discuss the shows that we recorded on the Catholic Sphere. And then we also have Daniel Campbell to discuss Palm Sunday, which is tomorrow, everyone, and also what is going to be going on during Holy Week and giving us just some explanation and breaking it down. So without further ado, we're going to start with Daniel Campbell.
Hi, this is Daniel Campbell, Director of the Lay Division at St. John Vianney Theological Seminary for the Archdiocese of Denver, where we offer all sorts of classes for you, the lay faithful. As we approach Holy Week, with tomorrow being Palm Sunday, there's a great event to mention that reminds us of the spirit with which we want to approach this most solemn time of the liturgical year. And that event is the poor widow donating 2 mites to the temple treasury versus rich men donating from abundance, which happened on the Tuesday of that first Holy Week 2,000 years ago. Message being that what we offer to God with a good intention is acceptable to Him. He regards not so much the gift itself in its quantity as He does the heart of the giver, that interior reality. And whereas according to the creed of political economy, the rich who donated much more are the ones that would have the buildings and streets named after them. For all the poor widow gave with 2 mites, and what are you going to do with 2 mites? There's nothing financially quantifiably that that'll amount to. And yet it is that poor widow's offering, not the rich, that is noticed by the Lord, that is meritorious before God, because she's giving everything, because she's making an actual sacrifice of herself. And this is how we're meant to live as we get to Holy Week here, concluding this Lenten season and thereafter. Obviously, the event has very specific importance for our giving alms, to do so generously, one of those great Lenten practices, along with prayer and fasting. But even more so, we should be filled this Holy Week and thereafter with a spirit of generous sacrifice in all aspects of life, not just alms. Certainly the generous sacrifice of our Lord should be ever present to our minds this upcoming week, but so should our imitation of His generous sacrifice, to recognize as Lent is concluding that now is the time to be like that widow with 2 mites, giving it all to God, depending on Him thereafter to provide for us, and making that sacrifice for those within our homes, surrounding us, and so forth. If you'd like to read, watch, listen to more about the Lenten season, check out our website at sjvlaydivision.org, and I hope you have a blessed Lenten season.
Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have a reoccurring guest, and she is my dear friend, Debbie Cowden. Thanks for being here again, Debbie.
Crystalina, it's always so fun to be with you.
I love the fact that every time I can get on the radio here with you, or a podcast, that I can pick up the prayer book for tired parents that you and your husband wrote, and it never gets old and it never gets dated because everyone is tired and everyone gets overwhelmed. And parenthood is hard, okay? And this last week has been so difficult, and there's been so much going on just in our household that it's nice that I could pick up this book and I could feel completely encouraged. And that's not what this show is about, but I just wanted to give you kudos because I love your book.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for endorsing it too, by the way.
Yeah.
We really wanted a book that parents could either pick up and really dive in and work through as a workbook, or something where just in the heat of the moment and just the little moments throughout the day, you could pick it up and get that wisdom and encouragement. So I'm so grateful to hear you say that. And I'm grateful that it's a resource that you go to often. That's what we wanted with this prayer book for tired parents.
So I wanted to interview Debbie today, everyone, because I just finished filming a couple different Catholic Sphere shows with her and some amazing women. I absolutely enjoyed and loved the women that you had on there with us. It was so good. And they are going to be airing here pretty soon. But I really just wanted to give the listeners a rundown of what the Catholic Sphere is and what we were doing when we were recording all of those shows and the different topics, because they were so powerful.
Thank you. I couldn't agree more. Definitely fantastic guests. And one of the beautiful things about the Catholic Sphere is that every week we have a different host and a different focus, because we wanted to make sure we were covering a range of topics that are important to Catholics around the globe. So, you know, we have Ryan Penny, who hits on social media and brings in the big social media influencers in the Catholic world. And they talk about the issues with social media and how we can use it for evangelization. Doug Keck always has theology and philosophy experts talking about current events and how to truly be Catholic in today's age, especially in the midst of all of the chaos that's going on in the secular world. Father Joseph has good perennial Catholic wisdom, Eucharist-centered. And then we also have radio spotlights and media missionary spotlights. So really, if you want to know what's going on in the world and how Catholics can respond, the Catholic Sphere is a place to go. And so I bring guests on the show who talk about issues that are important, particularly to Catholic mothers, because we know that the heart of the church is the family. And St. John Paul says that as the family goes, so goes the nation and so goes the world. So I really wanted to make sure that we were finding guests who could speak to the mother's heart specifically and offer the mother encouragement in her everyday life. So coming up on Holy Thursday, we have you, Kristalina, along with Claire Couchy from Finding Philothea, and Christine Moss, who is she's a widow, she's a mom, and she talks about suffering with her late husband's struggle with cancer. Over 11 months, he had brain cancer. What it was like for her to be a widow. And then now that she's married again, she has also found out that she's had breast cancer. So through social media, she opens up to other social media users, other moms. And I think both Christine and Claire so beautifully highlight what it means to persevere in motherhood amidst the suffering and really to take up your cross. The episode is called Loss and the Cross, A Mother's Guide to Suffering. And you as well, talking about your suffering and all of the pain that you've endured in your life and how you keep going. And it was really important for us to have that episode airing during the Holy Triduum, when we remember Christ himself who suffered and died for us, and wanting to encourage mothers and give them the strength to take up their crosses and carry them bravely and unite their sufferings to Christ. So that's the first one. And I have goosebumps just thinking about it, Kristalina, because these women know suffering and they also know the love of Christ through that suffering.
You know, and that's the thing. A lot of people are suffering so much right now. And I do address it a lot on my show, but also the grace that endures through that. Like it's not going to last forever. And as horrible and hard as everything may seem right now in certain people's lives, that there is an end to it. There will eventually be an end and another side to that. But they don't realize in their darkness and in their weakness they feel and in what they're having to endure, that God is really gracing them and pulling and stretching and kind of tilling their soil, and you never know. And there's this quote, and I use it on the show, and I tell Debbie it all the time, and I remind myself that, and I think it's a Mexican proverb, I don't even know, I should go back and actually look at it, but that when the devil is burying you the way a lot of you feel right now, he doesn't realize he's burying seeds. That we're seeds and that God can do great, unbelievable things in our lives. And just look at how he talks about the mustard seed that was planted and what comes of that. And it's absolutely the abundance and the strength and God's power that can thrive through that. If you just keep on and keep on and do not get overcome by that darkness, by the suffering you're going through right now, if it's your finances, if it's your marriage, maybe it's your children that are bringing the suffering in your life right now. Everybody has their own unique issue that maybe they're going through, but God knows and God sees you and he has not left you alone and he has not abandoned you. And I want you to know that. And we're getting ready to embark here on Holy Week, and maybe your Lent hasn't really been great. Maybe your Lent hasn't been good and you've kind of sloughed off and just kind of like halfway done it. And it's just like, oh, what's the point? Okay, well, we have one more week, whatever. But this actually could be the best Holy Week of your life. This Holy Week could absolutely transform and change your entire life. And he can do anything in an instant, or he can make you just kind of keep on, keep on. But no matter what, you all just keep showing up to your fight. And that's really what we talked about on this upcoming Thursday show. And I've taped a couple with you, Debbie. It's been a couple shows now. And there's even past shows that people can go listen to, right?
Absolutely. And Kristalina, you are like a lighthouse on the show. I love having you on, and I'm so grateful that you've shared your wisdom on so, so many episodes. And if viewers want to go back and watch more or listen to more, EWTN has an online streaming platform. It's called EWTN On Demand, and the website is EWTN.com/ on demand, and you can watch thousands and thousands and thousands of great EWTN programs, Mother Angelica shows included. But you can go back and you can watch the past year and a half's worth of the Catholic Sphere episodes, where we have the episodes for moms, going all the way back to, like I said earlier, Kristalina was on with Lisa Canning and Leah Darrow, and they're talking about the feminine genius in action. They're talking about openness to life. We've got episodes with Kendra Tierney and Sister John Dominic Rasmussen of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, talking about how to raise your children in the faith. We've got some homeschooling leaders, some strong women who have even started their own homeschooling platforms, who are talking about how to do the practical things when it comes to homeschooling, how you actually can make that happen. We even have a guy that you may know, Kristalina. His name is Jason Evert. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he and Mary Rice Hassan and Father Shannon Boke, they talk about human sexuality, which is really important. How do you talk to your kids about human sexuality? So again, it's EWTN.com/on-demand. You can go back and you can just binge watch the Catholic Sphere for free. You don't need a subscription. You don't have to pay anything. All the episodes are there. It's wonderful.
You know, that's one thing I love about EWTN. It's completely free. Mother Angelica and her mission and her vision, like, still lives on, because you can just download that and there's so much at your fingertips. And it's really helped me in my own life. And even when I need prayers or the rosary or that daily mass reading or whatever it is, it's pretty unbelievable what they have there, and the fact that it's all free for people all over the world. But back to the Catholic Sphere, of even Lisa Cotter was on there. And she was talking about, she has such an amazing angle on the feminine genius. I have so much love and respect for her for it, because it's such a new, different angle of that feminine genius. And she really breaks down Pope John Paul II's letter to women, but in such a way that everybody can understand, because the feminine genius can be pretty intimidating. And so I know Lisa Cotter was on one of the other shows with me, and she did a phenomenal job explaining all of that. But what were the other shows? Let's talk about the other shows as well, Debbie, that we filmed and that they can look forward to in the next couple of weeks coming up here.
Absolutely. On April 25th, we have you back on again with Claire Couchy and Christine Moss, talking about how the resurrection is real. And it's an episode for moms about finding joy amidst sorrow. And it's very resurrection minded. And like you were just saying so beautifully and so eloquently, that the cross is not the end, and that death is not the end, and that we can find joy in the resurrection, and that death isn't the end of the story. And then on May 23rd, we've got Kristalina back again with Lisa Canning and Angela Schneiders. And the episode is called Catholic Working Moms Do's and Don'ts. And I think it's really important, as much as possible, to talk about the practical aspects of motherhood. So we're talking about how to manage your day, how to create routines, how to reorient yourself or get back on track when your day inevitably gets completely derailed, or like when kids get sick or school gets canceled or a big project comes up for work. Always aligning things in accordance with God's will, and a constant discernment for what God has called your family to and what God has called you to in your marriage, and then to your career. And then on June 27th, so it's always the fourth Thursday of the month, that's when you can get these motherhood episodes on the Catholic Sphere. We have Lisa and Angela back again with you, talking about Catholic working moms, but this time it's like a masterclass. So for moms who want to take their career to the next level, but keeping everything properly aligned and oriented so that you can really fully answer God's call for your life, both in your home and in the world, because, you know, everybody has a different state in life. And we talk about that as well. You know, some women are called to be at home with the children. Some women are called to educate their children. Some women are called to take seasons off from working to be home with their kids. For the woman who is currently called to be in her family and in the world, we talk about ways to balance that appropriately, and how it's always a path of discernment and how there's flexibility involved. So it really dives into the nitty gritty of that, which I think is really important for women today. So really excited about those episodes.
So everyone has so many different views, and they have a lot of opinions about working mothers, you know, and especially in the Catholic world.
Hot button topic
is right, Debbie. It's amazing. And they're very vocal about that. And as they should be, and that's fine, and to each their own. But I will say to all the women out there, if you're a working mom, if you're a stay-at-home mom, which is major work in itself, I get it, that if you could just shift that worldly view of God's will in your life and of motherhood and working, that worldly view that we have, and shift it to a godly view. It really changed everything for me, of really looking at it, okay, and being docile to God's will in my own personal life of, okay, God, you want me to be home? I can be home. You want me to be on stage? You want me to be at World Youth Day speaking? I'll be at World Youth Day speaking. But really being able to be docile to whatever it is God is asking you to do in that moment and in that season, because it's when I was fighting Debbie, where I was like, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do that. I don't want to speak, or I want to be home with my kids. Like, it was like this yo-yo of like, oh my gosh, because motherhood really changes the dynamics of everything. And people don't realize when you have children and they need so much of you, it's hard to work. It's hard to go. But God, if that is God's will in that woman's life, he's going to find a way, because some women have no choice, but they have to work. If you are doing the will of God, you always will have him to lean on. And honey, if I had Jesus to lean on and all the world against me, then that's all you need, right?
Absolutely. And I really do look to you as a model for how to discern what it means to answer God's call in your state and life. And it does look different for every family. There are some families who need both incomes, some who have just one. I know in our family, we've got a really unique balance that works well for us, because I do work full time. My husband works as well. And we figured out a way to work together to make it happen for our family, so that neither of our jobs come at the expense of our children and their education, and also their faith life and how they are growing and living out their Catholic faith. And so that's why we say on the show, when we emphasize that the decision is not always a permanent one, because there are seasons in life where you can be at home with the children. And there are some seasons in life where, you know, you may have to work seasonally in order to make ends meet for your family. But you're working together as a family to figure it out, because God gave you the intellect and the will to participate in the design of your life. You are not a victim to your circumstances. Mm. God gave you, he gave you a brain, and he gave you your scrappy sense of, you know, go get it done, to help your family. And so I really appreciate that we can have these honest conversations. I mean, Lisa Canning and Angela Schneiders are both coaches for moms who want to, perhaps they want to grow their business. Perhaps they just want to get things under control in their house. So they have a lot of experience and insight when it comes to offering realistic suggestions for women. And of course, you as well, Kristalina.
Oh my goodness.
You are amazing.
No, I'm really not. I just put one foot in front of the other every day with God. That's it. And this is the thing. I heard someone say this. I wish I could remember who I heard say this, or it was a preacher. Somebody said that you can't defeat the evil in the world if you can't even defeat it within yourself. And some people put that so upside down, where they're like, oh, we need to go and we need to do this and we need to change that and blah, 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 blah. When it's like, whoa, slow down, settle down and get quiet. And that's what I told myself, because I needed to stop and right order a lot of things in my life. And still to this day, I'm still right ordering things. You know, God is always bringing things to the forefront in our lives. And it's hard to listen. I know those of you listening out there, it's hard to listen sometimes, especially when God is reprimanding you, trying to change you or weed something out of your life that you want to hold on to. It's difficult. But when you can go to those ugly, wounded places within yourself, or maybe those like stubborn places where you're tantruming out and you're like, I don't want to do that, God. No, because I did that for so long when it came to counseling. I was like, no, it's not happening. It's never going to happen. And then finally, I had to be humble and say, okay, I know I need counseling. I'm going to do this. It changed the course of my entire life, but it was the obedience that God's grace was able to abound and change everything. A lot of the times what we're looking for and the fixes are actually within.
Amen. And for the mom who thinks, well, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, I've got too much going on, I can't possibly take the time to sit down and listen to that still small voice, or I can't spend, you know, a holy hour every day or make a holy hour every day, I can't go to daily mass. We come up with all of these excuses for why we can't do things. And that's actually shutting us off to God's grace working in our lives. And, you know, that's why in the prayer book for tired parents, Dave and I try to spell out as lovingly as possible our own story of how we were making excuses. I mean, for crying out loud, my husband works in healthcare, and he was working in healthcare in the COVID units during the peak of COVID. And that was one of the worst times in our lives. And we were making all of these excuses for why we couldn't go to mass. You know, he was working on Saturdays. Oh, we can't possibly make it to confession. But it was when we realized that we needed God more than ever, that we started making those little 1 degree changes to change our life. And when we started saying, God, I want to make time for you, or God, I don't really desire you right now, but I want to, help me grow in the grace. Give me the grace to desire holiness and to desire your love. And God answers that prayer. He absolutely answers that prayer. And so when you're struggling, when you feel like you can't do it, that's when the prayer that you can offer up is, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. And so I want women and I want moms to make God their focus, because that's the only way that you can get it all done. Kristalina, you say so wonderfully that, you know, Jesus is your boss.
Yeah.
And you get your marching orders from him. You do what he tells you to do.
Straight up. Yeah.
That's how you make it happen.
That is exactly how I've done any and everything in my life right now, no matter what has come against me or what is happening in that day. If I know I know what God wants me to do, I just keep go forth, even though sometimes I'm just like, really, really, that's it. And some people are like, well, I don't hear God's voice. It's not that clear for me, you know, but at the end of the day, I don't believe them. And I say this all the time, and I'm sorry. I love you all out there. I really do. I pray for you. But the thing is, I was just like that, where I'm like, I don't really hear God's voice. But I did hear that small, still annoying voice when I was trying to party and be drugged out and trying to ignore the voice of God saying, leave this, get out of this, break up with him, stop wearing that, stop listening to that, don't do that. I heard that so loud and clear within my heart, but I kept shutting it up. And that's the biggest problem. You can't hear God's voice if you keep shutting it up because you want something in the world. So just maybe stop shutting the voice of God up in your lives if you don't like what it is he's saying, because what he is saying to you is beyond vital. And today is Saturday, and today is an awesome, excellent day to maybe just start over. Maybe even just last night you made mistakes. That's okay. It's okay. But don't stay knocked down. Don't stay beat up and overcome by any sin. And don't let the devil trap you. Go to confession. It is there waiting for you. God's mercy abounds. And most churches around the country right now will have confessions open, especially right before this Holy Week, or even penance service, I think they have on Saturday nights. But it is open. You are welcome. You are invited. Go to confession today and start over. And that's truly the starting point in anybody's life to have a relationship with God and living out his will. Hey, I try to go every 2 weeks, 3 weeks at the most, because I can tell if I don't keep those demons in check, they will overcome me.
I would absolutely agree. I was going to add, my husband likes to Google all the different churches in the area, and we will find time to go to confession. If we need to go during the week, I mean, he's all but made a spreadsheet where everything is mapped out. We know when daily mass is, we know when they have adoration, we know when they have confession, because it's important. And the nice thing about going regularly, like you said, is that you keep the demons in check, but then also you never have to say, hey, honey, I need to go to confession. What? You need to go to confession? What did you do? It's just, we're going every 2 weeks because we're wanting to receive that sanctifying grace. And you can receive indulgences too, as well, when you go to confession regularly and when you're in a state of grace. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a good witness to your children as well.
It is. And I was in adoration once, and I felt in my heart, and this was my own personal thing, of just that small, still voice. People right now are so submerged in darkness, and they literally don't know how to utilize the light within that God has given them. And that if they don't keep that grace going and they don't learn how to truly listen and be obedient to their conscience, it'll get snuffed out. It will literally, even if they have good intentions, it will literally get snuffed out in those quote unquote good intentions. If you are not living in the will of God and truly doing his will, you'll get overcome by your quote unquote good works that aren't in alignment with God's will. And that's what I've seen in so many good people right now. So it is vital that you really are spiritually really just trying to stay in the will of God and not snuffing that voice out. Because at the end of the day, everybody, it is your own protection. Because there's so many times where I've listened and God has protected me in so many different ways. And I've seen him do it in my children as well, because I have tried to teach them at a very young age, you always have to listen. And when they haven't listened, it's been a world of hurt. And they know it and they've experienced it. Our family has experienced it. So just know, at the end of the day, if you could teach your kids and yourself to truly just listen, it's going to change your lives.
We've done that. We started with our 7-year-old, I guess it was about 2 years ago. And now she just knows. Crystalina says, listen to the still small voice. It's always Miss Crystalina.
It'll change everything. It does, Debbie. It really does. We are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN. We will be right back with Debbie Cowden. And later, we are going to have Daniel Campbell explaining what the Triduum actually is. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. And for those of you just tuning in, I have Debbie Cowden here with me. And we are discussing all of the amazing upcoming shows that are going to be on the Catholic Sphere that she hosted and I was a guest on and a part of. But I also was listening and it was great and it really helped me a lot. So what are the different topics? And let's go over the times again so people really can kind of just hone in and where they can find the show, Debbie.
Yeah. Well, the Catholic Sphere airs every Thursday on EWTN at both 11 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. Eastern. So coming up on Thursday, March 28th, we have Crystalina alongside Claire Couchy and Christine Moss. They're talking about Loss and the Cross, A Mother's Guide to Suffering. On Thursday, April 25th, Crystalina, Claire, and Christine are back to talk about how the resurrection is real, finding joy amidst sorrow. On May 23rd, Crystalina is joined by Lisa Canning and Angela Schneiders. It's an episode called Catholic Working Moms, Do's and Don'ts. And then on Thursday, June 27th, Crystalina is joined again by Lisa Canning and Angela Schneiders. And it is a Catholic Working Moms Masterclass. And if you miss any of the episodes of the Catholic Sphere, you can stream them anytime on EWTN's YouTube channel or on our free streaming platform, which is EWTN On Demand. It's EWTN.com/on demand.
Yay. So please. Boom. Yeah, there you go. And honestly, I have to give a shout out to Lisa Canning because she is amazing in everything that she is doing. And if you don't know about the Possibility Mom, Lisa Canning, please look her up. And she is on social media and she is just helping so many women. And she just had her 10th. Did she just have her 10th right now? Yeah, she's just a soldier and a survivor and a mom strong. I love it. We're all mom strong, but we're all mom strong in our own way. And she's just amazing. So please look her up. And then Debbie, tell us, you have so many things going on. Just break it all down for us. And then also where they can find you.
Well, you can find me at tiredcatholicparents.com and on Instagram, it's at tiredcatholicparents. My husband and I, Dave, wrote the prayer book for tired parents, practical ways to grow in love of God and get your family to heaven through EWTN Publishing. So you can get the prayer book for tired parents at EWTNRC.com. It's a wonderful resource for new parents, for seasoned parents, for grandparents, because the whole goal is that if we truly want to grow in holiness, we've got to focus on loving God. And if we want to be the parents that God called us to be, we've got to first love God. So it puts all of parenting in the context of holiness and growing in your love of God. Dave and I have just started doing parish talks. We're encouraging people to buy our book in bulk. You can buy literally cases of the book to give to your parish. And it's so cool to see that happen because parents who otherwise may not have heard of this prayer book for tired parents are able to get it and they're able to start taking those practical steps to put God first in their everyday lives. So if you want more information about that, you can email me at debbie@tiredcatholicparents.com. And again, please get the prayer book for tired parents from EWTNRC.com. that's the gist of who I am, Crystalina. I just want to help other parents grow in holiness and help my spouse and my kids get to heaven too.
So if you're a grandma or you're an aunt or you're a sister and you see your loved one struggling in their parenthood, and I know a lot of parents that are having issues right now or struggling with their kids and they're overwhelmed, or maybe as an Easter gift, right? Or someone that you know is going to be having a baby, or all of you out there, you know who you are and you know what I'm talking about. Get this book for them because it truly will help them and even ground them spiritually in those really tough times with your kids. It just will. And it has for me. So to get Debbie's book, and that will really encourage you, especially in those times of discouragement. And that's not the only thing you have, is it, Debbie? You have something else going on. I think you create the most beautiful jewelry.
Oh, thank you. You're really sweet. Yeah, my husband and my children and I also make rosary wrap bracelets and chaplet wrap bracelets. And we offer those on our Etsy shop. It's just cowdenco.etsy.com. And we wanted to make Mother Angelica's concept of holy reminders available for people. So you can always have your rosary with you. You can have a St. Michael chaplet with you at all times. We even have a St. Therese chaplet of 24 glory beads, which is a chaplet in thanksgiving for St. Therese's 24 years on earth. So if you go to cowdenco.etsy.com, you can see those beautiful, affordable, handmade in the USA rosary wrap bracelets.
Right. And they're an excellent Easter gift too. That's going to be coming up. So I would encourage you to go there. But Debbie, you're doing so much and you've helped so many women, and just your book alone. And if you can give advice to women out there, just one piece of advice that has really helped you, what would you want to say to them?
Oftentimes as moms, we feel as though we're getting death by a thousand cuts. It's just all these little things that are just tearing us apart. But I would like to challenge moms to view it as grace by a thousand cuts. So all the little annoyances that can happen during the day, all the little bits of discouragement or suffering, if you can ask God for the grace in that moment to be the mom that he called you to be, that is grace by a thousand cuts. And most of us moms will not be martyrs. We will not be doctors of the church. We will not be, you know, famous apostolates or famous Catholic speakers, but we are all called to be holy Catholic moms. And that comes in those little moments of holiness, that grace by a thousand cuts, which I'm coining, by the way.
No, it's awesome. And it's so true. Because I said that several times. Death by a thousand cuts is the devil's play. That's what he does to us with all of the sins and everything else. And it weakens us. But I love, love, love how you applied it's grace by a thousand cuts. And it's so true when you can turn that upside down on its head and you just insert God in there. Anything can happen. And even grace by a thousand cuts, you can become a strong powerhouse for God in your vocation, in your marriage, in your motherhood. And a lot of us need that encouragement right now. So thank you, Debbie. That is just awesome. You have an amazing Holy Week in the Cowden household. And I look forward to having you on again. And all of those of you out there, tune in to the Catholic Sphere. And we will be waiting for you there. Right, Debbie?
Yes, ma'am. Every Thursday.
God bless you. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Crystalina.
Okay, we are going to just get right into it with Daniel Campbell here. And we are coming upon Holy Week, and we are coming upon the liturgical celebrations of the Sacred Triduum. And a lot of people don't understand what that is. And why should people, Daniel, take time out of their busy schedules to attend those services in the first place?
Okay, so when we talk about the liturgy, we are talking about the prayer of the Bride of Christ, the Body of Christ, the Catholic Church. Her prayer is that thing we call the liturgy, and that's going to consist of the Mass, the seven sacraments, and the Divine Office, or what's more familiarly today referred to as the Liturgy of the Hours. What makes this liturgy, the prayer of the Catholic Church, so special, though? What makes it distinct from prayers that I might say myself? The liturgical action of the Catholic Church is divine liturgy, not human, even if humans participate in it. The liturgy of the Catholic Church is divine because it was instituted by God and is carried out by God. Instituted by God because it was instituted by Jesus Christ, who is God become man. It is our Lord who gave us the Mass, celebrated it first himself at the Last Supper. It is our Lord who gave us the seven sacraments, and so forth. Okay? So the liturgy of the Church was instituted by God. And then furthermore, that liturgical prayer of the Church is acted out by God or carried out by God it is not just Jesus Christ who instituted the Mass, but it is Jesus Christ who celebrates it today. This is my body. This is my blood. That's what the priest says. And he's not talking about his own body, you know, Father Bob or Father Rick. It is Jesus Christ saying, this is my body, this is my blood, through the priest who is acting in the person of Christ. And it is Jesus Christ in the confessional who says, I absolve you of your sins. So that's what we mean by divine liturgy. It is instituted and carried out by God. And being so, the words and actions of the liturgy, the prayer of the church, have a capacity to communicate grace to us. That's why the liturgy is so special. That's why it's distinct from prayers I might say myself. It's not to say my own personal prayer life can't connect me with grace, but just that I don't have power over that grace because I'm not God. And it's a share in his divine triune life. That's what grace is. God has power over grace, and he attaches his grace to the words and actions of the liturgy of the church. That's why it's so important. This is why the church speaks of the liturgy as the font of grace, because it's instituted by God and carried out by God. And so it has an efficacy, it has a power beyond any private prayer I might say myself. As important and necessary as that is, nonetheless, my own personal prayer isn't the prayer of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the Catholic Church, which carries and communicates grace. And so through the liturgy, God can be glorified and we can be sanctified.
So how are we sanctified through the liturgy? Does the liturgy help us grow in holiness?
Right. Great question. How are we sanctified through the liturgy? So let me just note, we have to look at the objective reality, because it's very easy that my subjective experience doesn't seem to tell me that I'm being sanctified through the liturgy because, you know, when I go to Mass, I've got a bunch of kids jumping around all over the place and their shirts are untucked and it's really hard to pay attention. And I never really seem to hear a sermon because I'm always taking care of a baby in the parish hall or whatever it is, right? So our subjective experience of, say, the Mass doesn't necessarily always match the objective reality, okay? So we want to look at things as the objective reality. How is the liturgy a font of grace? Because it is instituted by Jesus Christ and it is carried out by Jesus Christ. And so the liturgy causes grace. More concretely, how so? Well, the liturgy serves as a font of grace because God's saving acts and salvation history are made present to us in the liturgy. That is how it is a font of grace. Because through the liturgy, I am able to participate in the great events of salvation history. I'm able to be united to those great events, not just by spiritually reading about them or by hearing of them preached on in the sermon, but by, through the liturgy, actually participating in them. So I'm able to therefore receive the fruits and merits of those great events, preeminent, of course, being Good Friday. So the church's liturgy is the place where we encounter the salvation that God has worked out in history. Noah's flood, the Red Sea, the manna in the wilderness, the crucifixion. We were not there in historical time for these events. All those great events in salvation history that we were not there for, but which we need to be united to, because these are God's saving acts. Therefore, these are made present for me through the liturgy. And that's how it's a font, by really allowing me to enter into salvation history. Because these liturgical words, actions, these rituals are instituted by God. And God can, if he will, collapse time and space. God is not bound by time and space, as we are, as the creator of it all. So he is able to make present through the words and actions that he gave and carries out still to this day in the liturgy, he is able to make present those great events of the past and also allow us to anticipate heavenly realities. There are things that we see in the book of Revelation that are happening in heaven, which we are doing ourselves at Mass. So there's this great connection between the things of the past, the present, and future heavenly realities that come to us through the liturgy. And that's how it's a font of grace. I need to be united to the saving acts of God, no more so than the crucifixion 2,000 years ago in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. But I can't go back in time. But God can make that present for me today. We were not there, but there is made present for us today. And that is the beautiful gift of the liturgy, that it allows us to enter into salvation history, really participate in it, and therefore receive the great fruits and merits of salvation history.
What does the sacred triduum have to do with this, and why is it so important?
Okay, what is the sacred triduum then? So the very simple note is that the sacred triduum is that collection of liturgical celebrations encompassing the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, beginning with the Last Supper celebration on the evening of Holy Thursday, followed by the crucifixion on Good Friday, and then on to the resurrection of Christ, first celebrated at the Easter Vigil the night of Holy Saturday. So that's what it is. Why is it so important? Well, the Church, in making present to us God's saving acts in the liturgy, does not do so haphazardly or randomly or sporadically, but rather deliberately. So we have what we call the liturgical calendar, which posits a sacred order of time. Time was changed by the incarnation, by God becoming man. The eternal Word, who is outside of time, became incarnate in time, thereby making time sacred. And the Church presents to us a sacred cycle of time called the liturgical calendar, wherein time is structured, organized, not according to the secular calendar of dates and hours and so forth, but according to the flow of the life of Christ, wherein every year the events in the life of Christ are made present to us today in the liturgy. So Advent celebrates that Jesus is coming, Christmas that he has come, the Epiphany to the Magi, his revelation as God, Lent is Christ's 40 days in the wilderness, Palm Sunday is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, so on and so forth. And then we repeat it all again and again and again and again. Every single year, we relive the gospel from Christ's incarnation and birth to his ascension and heavenly reign. Following this timeline that draws us into intimate union with Jesus Christ. It all starts, of course, on the first Sunday of Advent. But then within this liturgical calendar, the sacred triduum is so important because it is the climax. The sacred triduum is the climax to Lent, which is really getting at the heart of the liturgical year, the heart of God's saving acts made present for us today in the liturgy, precisely because the passion, death, and resurrection are, of course, the saving acts of God par excellence. So with Lent, we're in the heart of the Church's liturgical year, the most solemn time in the Church's liturgical year, precisely because this is that time of the year, more so than any other, when we are very particularly preparing ourselves, of course in cooperation with God's grace, for salvation in the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord, which is what the sacred triduum is going to make present for us. The sacred triduum is that collection, again, of liturgical celebrations encompassing the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, beginning with the Last Supper celebration on the evening of Holy Thursday, followed by the crucifixion on Good Friday, and then on to the resurrection of Christ, first celebrated at the Easter Vigil the night of Holy Saturday. So it's really that important, the sacred triduum, because if the liturgy makes present God's saving acts, which it does, but if the liturgy makes present God's saving acts, then what could be more important than the liturgical commemoration of the greatest of God's saving acts with the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord?
What is going on in the Last Supper Mass? Some people are confused, and I know the Last Supper has a lot going on. So what is the importance of it in the sacred triduum?
Okay, so there's a lot that happened at the Last Supper. So the Last Supper is everything from the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ to the very famous washing of the feet of the apostles, to the issuing of the new commandment, to the declaration of betrayal, and so forth. There's a lot that was going on at the Last Supper, as we read in the Gospels. But what the Last Supper Mass during the Triduum really focuses in on from the Last Supper is the institution by our Lord of the two sacraments of the Eucharist and Holy Orders. So the Last Supper was the first ever celebration of the Eucharist, the first ever making present of the offering of our Lord in sacrifice under the appearances of bread and wine. As our Lord himself says, very simply, very plainly, nothing figurative, nothing symbolic about it. This is my body. This is my blood. He really is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Blessed Sacrament. And as he says in the build-up to this, to the apostles, I have desired to eat this Pasch with you. I have desired this. And the reason he's desired it, among other things, is because this is the first time that he will give himself to them in the Eucharist. This is the first time that they will ever receive Holy Communion. And what a beautiful gift that is. And there is no greater sign of the love of the Sacred Heart for us than the Eucharist. There are great signs of the love of the Sacred Heart in the incarnation that God became man and even has a human heart that we call the Sacred Heart to begin with. There is a great sign of the love of the Sacred Heart in the passion, the suffering he's willing to undergo. But there's no greater sign of the love of the Sacred Heart than the fact that he's willing to come to us under such humiliating appearances as bread and wine, just to be with us, just to commune with us. So there is the institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper, which is very heavily focused on in the Last Supper Mass during the Triduum. If there's then going to be the sacrifice and sacrament of the Eucharist, then there is also going to need to be a priest to offer that sacrifice and confect that sacrament. And that is also the other big thing, which is really commemorated in the Triduum celebration of the Last Supper Mass. So the institution of the sacrament of holy orders, the Catholic priesthood. You know, as the Council of Trent says, that moment when our Lord says, do this in memory of me, speaking of the Eucharist and speaking to the apostles, do this, this being the offering of his body and blood under the appearances of bread and wine, do this in commemoration of me. That's the moment when he ordained those apostles priests. That's the moment when he gave them the power, because power is needed in order to make present the offering of his body and blood and sacrifice. That's not something you and I can just say. We can say the very same words, but if we haven't received the sacrament of holy orders, you and I saying, this is my body, this is my blood, doesn't actually cause any change in the bread. It's mere words that we as humans have said. But when you are given power, if you will, and that power comes by conformity to sharing in the priesthood of Christ, now there's the capacity to say those very same words. But through those words, you'll now have the offering of the Eucharistic sacrifice and the sacrament. And so those two things, more so than anything else at the Last Supper Mass in the Triduum, are what are really being commemorated and reflected upon. And then when the Mass of the Last Supper concludes, we now recognize that our Lord has begun his passion. So he goes off from the upper room to the agony in the garden, for example, right? Everything really picks up beginning with the Last Supper. So to commemorate that, what you'll notice then at the Last Supper Mass upon its conclusion is the tabernacle is emptied, the altar is stripped, the symbols of Christ's presence are removed, as our Lord is shortly to be removed, so to speak, from the world through his death the next day on Good Friday. So the joyful signs of his presence are removed. They don't return until Easter begins with the Easter Vigil Mass on Saturday evening. And the ciborium with remaining sacred hosts is taken to what's called the altar of repose, which you've probably noticed before, where the tabernacle is emptied and the sacred hosts are taken in the ciborium to the altar of repose, to another place where they're kept. This is maybe a, you know, side altar if you have a very old church with side altars, or maybe a parish hall if there's no side altars, where there's then a separate altar that's set up, and that's where our Lord is now going to be kept until the Easter Vigil, to signify he's now gone off from the Last Supper to his Passion. And we then try to keep vigil with him. So you'll notice, if you don't already do it yourself, there are people who might stick around for quite a while at that altar of repose in prayer, because we are trying to now keep vigil with him in his Passion. Especially where, as you see in the Garden of Gethsemane, his apostles were unable to keep vigil with him. You know, he asks three times of Peter, James, and John to watch with him in prayer, and they keep falling asleep. So our Lord is left to himself. So we are here trying now to keep vigil with him and to console him, where the apostles, particularly Peter, James, and John, were seemingly unable to in that very moment. And it really does console his Sacred Heart. So it's not that what we are doing today and trying to keep vigil with him, you know, retroactively changes time and what Jesus was experiencing, but rather it's the fact that our Lord in that moment knew that you would 2,000 years later be keeping vigil with him. And so in that moment, his awareness of what you were going to be doing was in fact consoling to his Sacred Heart. So it's a beautiful thing to try and keep vigil with him as much as we're able to on this evening after the Last Supper Mass. And then, of course, anytime we're able to go before the Blessed Sacrament and make a holy hour and that sort of thing, it gives that consolation to our Lord in his Sacred Heart where it was lacking in that moment in historical time.
So what's going on during Good Friday service?
Okay, Good Friday service. So it's very important to note that there is no Mass on Good Friday. And a lot of people often ask that, you know, why is it not published in the bulletin, the Mass time? Why is it called, you know, historically the Mass of the Pre-Sanctified? Or why is it maybe just called the commemoration of Good Friday or a Good Friday service? Why doesn't it list the Mass? Well, because there is, in fact, no Mass on Good Friday. Only the sacraments of the anointing of the sick and penance are celebrated on Good Friday, not the Eucharist. The Eucharist is involved, as we'll see in a second, but there is no actual Mass on Good Friday. There is a service, but no true Mass, because there is no consecration. And without the consecration, you don't have the Mass. You may very well receive Holy Communion on Good Friday. When you do, it's from hosts that were consecrated the night before at the Last Supper Mass, which have been kept in that altar of repose. But there is no actual Mass celebrated on Good Friday. Why is there no Mass celebrated? Because as St. Thomas Aquinas writes, the figure ceases on the advent of the reality. So basically, St. Thomas teaches that the Mass is not celebrated on Good Friday because it is on this day that we commemorate our Lord's real sacrifice on the cross. In the Good Friday commemoration, we are mystically present in some way at Calvary alongside the Blessed Mother and the other disciples who remained at the cross, which in some respects we always are because every celebration of the Mass is a making present of Good Friday. But nonetheless, even more so specifically with the actual Good Friday celebration, it is true that the Mass is the representation, if you will, of the Passion. But as the figure passes away before the reality, as the shadow leaves when the person arrives, so too the Church omits the celebration of Mass when she commemorates the Passion as it really happened in time. So the Mass both signifies Christ's sacrifice and actually makes it present. And so in the commemoration on Good Friday, the sign of Christ's sacrifice offered in the Mass gives way to the historical reality. So what we have here now on Good Friday is not a Mass, it's a liturgical service. But what we have instead of the Mass is certainly a liturgy of the Word. There are readings, as there are normally at Mass, but then the very particular adoration of the cross, as you've probably seen or at least experienced at the Good Friday service, where in lieu of the sacrifice of the Mass, we have the veneration of the cross of Christ in its place. And then whatever communion service we may receive sacred hosts at are again those hosts that have been consecrated the night before at the Last Supper Mass. So it's not a Mass, it's the making present of the real historical event as it happened in time. And so the sacrifice of the Mass gives way to the adoration of the cross. And then this now is going to prepare us then to encounter the risen Lord at the Easter Vigil on the night of Holy Saturday, when you're now going to get to, of course, the great victory of our Lord over Satan, sin, and death through his resurrection. And that will bring the Sacred Triduum to its final piece with that great victory.
I want to thank my guests again, Debbie Cowden, for being here, and Daniel Campbell. I hope you all have a holy week that changes your life. That is like no other. And that is going to be my prayer for you, that you really encounter and experience Jesus in this next upcoming week. God bless you all, and I'll see you next weekend.